You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jones!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket in association with LV Insurance, the sponsors of this fascinating test series between England and India. Third day is complete at Headingley. And I suppose the question is, where is this test match going? Yesterday, it looked precisely like an England victory was almost a foregone conclusion by either the end of today or early tomorrow. But suddenly, the resistance of the Indian batsmen has suggested another selection of results. Could be a draw, could be an England win, or it could even be an Indian win. Where's your money at the moment, Simon?
Well, now that'd be telling where my money is. What I think's going to happen is, well, we could be in for an absolute classic, couldn't we? On the other hand, the new ball is available tomorrow morning, and England worked to get the new ball ready for tomorrow morning this evening by bowling the spinners quickly through those last half an hour, 40 minutes, when they could have gone off a bad light. It was a clear tactic from Joe Root so that he'd have the new ball available in the morning. It feels like a crucial new ball. What are the scenarios, Yoz? Well, let's have a look at them. One scenario is, and it's the worst case scenario that we talked about earlier in the game, isn't it? That India get 500 in their second innings over a long time and put some pressure on England in their second innings, you know, make it a really difficult chase. So that's one possibility. The other one is the new ball does its work tomorrow and England gradually work their way through India's batting lineup and they win by close to an innings or, you know, 10 wickets, 8 wickets, something like that with a short chase. And perhaps the third one is a sort of chase of, you know, 80 or 100, something like that. I just can't see it being a draw, unless, you know, weather gets involved, light, bad light or something like that. I just can't see it being a draw, but the draw's come back in a bit.
It has, actually. I mean, if we look at the who's winning graphic, which those of you who are watching on video will see, and by the way, if you want to watch this on video, it's available on the Cricketer website at thecricketer.com. You can watch us as well as listen to us. And this graphic is telling us that after the end of the third day, England's potential win percentage is down from 90 pretty much midway through the second day to now actually at 75. And India's has crept up from 3 to 7%. And the draw is heading up towards about 10 to 15%. So it's the draw is sort of edging a little bit closer, which you sort of poo-poo. The Indian win is certainly still very remote, and the England win a strong possibility. And I think actually that the evidence is fair enough there, actually, because what England did quite well, I thought, today was bowled those spinners at the end and used up quite a lot of overs. I mean, yeah, OK, they gave away a few runs, but they also got closer to being able to use the new ball very early tomorrow morning, in fact, immediately tomorrow morning, which I think will probably be the key passage of play. it deserved more wickets today, the new ball, than it actually got. And so often you get these things going sort of cycles, that one day you play and miss and don't get out. And I think that happened a bit today. In the first innings, India played and edged and got out. And maybe it's going to go back to that scenario tomorrow, because I thought England actually bowled really well this morning, and they also played well, the batsmen. But England probably deserved and would have hoped for 3 wickets with that new ball rather than only 1.
Yeah, I think the stats say, don't they, that you know, actually England bowled just as full in as they did in the first innings, if not a fraction fuller, and that India played and missed even more, or you know, at least there were as many wicket taking balls delivered. And I thought Overton was excellent, and Robinson was excellent today. Mm. They went at just over 2 and over. They looked to be a constant threat, a constant menace. Jimmy Anderson bowled a third spell that was a bit wayward, or might even been his third spell that was a bit wayward. Bowled a bit leg sideish, went for 20 in 2 overs, just released some of the pressure. But he was threatening with the new ball as well. It was sort of one of those days, wasn't it? And you know, fair play to India, they battled through it. Pujara scored quite freely. He was given a few free balls on his pads, which he put away. And Kohli looks determined as well. And Rohit Sharma likewise, you know, until he got his what should we call it? Iffy LBW Yoz. I mean, you take them all as bowlers, don't you? But I mean, that really was.
You definitely do. and you know, it's a fact. If the ball clips the stumps with no pad in the way, the bails fall off, unless it's the featherest clip. Of course, actually nowadays, bails are actually harder to dislodge than they were before the advent of stump cameras. So I suppose, in a way, maybe they should calibrate umpires' call a bit more, a bit differently, taking into account those stumps which are a bit more rigid. I mean, we've seen a number of occasions when the ball has hit the wicket and the bails haven't fallen off when the ball's been ricocheted back off the bat or something. So maybe those really tiny little feather clips on the stumps should never be given out, because the bails in the modern game are not going to fall off in that scenario.
Well, I think lots of Indian supporters, I was looking on social media, lots of Indian supporters are saying it shouldn't have been given out. But, you know, it was one of those, actually, if you look at it, because the ball went away on the offside, the umpire must have thought, well, actually, that's probably hitting leg stump. Mm. If it's all gone away on the leg side, yeah, you probably thought, no, it's going down. But it looked a pretty good shot. Mind you, I thought the one earlier that was given against KL Rahul was out. I raised my finger. Mm. I was really surprised to see that one missing, and that was overturned. And of course, Rohit, he did get away with one earlier. He looked as if he got away with one where it was one of those difficult decisions, possibly for a third umpire, if Root had reviewed it in time, because it happened soon after one that was that England reviewed that was not out, and they lost a review. But those who haven't seen it, ball onto the, just clip the front pad, then onto the back pad. So there were two noises, and I think the umpire thought that Rohit Sharma inside edged it. And the technology, it was very close to his inside edge, but I don't think he did. And it was 3 lights. But of course, England only reviewed it like half a second after they got to naught. So the umpire, Richard Kettleborough, said, no, you can't review that. You haven't done it in time. So Rohit got away with one when he was on 39, when, you know, effectively, by the look of it, he was plumb LBW. And England just didn't review it in time, and it wasn't given out. And then he got that really marginal call. And it must have been sort of a moment of anguish, really, when you look up at the big screen as you walk off. And you see that just feathering the leg stump. Here's a question for you then, Yoz. Do you think an umpire in that situation will go, you know, not be that happy with himself for giving that out? Or do you think, well, actually, you know, I gave it out, the technology backs me up, on we go? Or do you think they like it when they give umpires calls one out? Or do you think they actually love it when it's all 3 red lights?
I think it depends if they're a batsman or they're a bowler. I think if they give it out and it's just clipping and they're a bowler, they'll be satisfied. But if they're a batsman, they think, oh, you know, I should have probably given the batsman the benefit of the doubt there, and vice versa. So I think overall, if the ball is at least clipping the stumps a little bit and they've given it out, then I think they'll be happy. If it's just shaving or missing and they're giving it not out, they'll also be extremely happy. Those marginal ones are very difficult to sort of legislate for, aren't they, I suppose? And I think actually generally the umpires have been outstanding. Again, Alex Wharf in his first test as well. I mean, just they're exceptional. I don't know if you've tried umpiring much, but I tried umpiring on the North York Moors tour recently, which I went on with this club, Millfields. You know, I gave out one of our batsmen, which was absolutely plumb, because you do the player umpire bit, you know, where you umpire for your own team because you haven't got official umpires. I really enjoy it, actually. And it's challenging, though. I mean, you know, those marginal LBWs, particularly, difficult. I think edges are fairly obvious, actually. But LBWs are really tough.
Yeah, I've only ever umpired in those situations where you end up umpiring your own team. And it's a horrible situation to be in, isn't it? I mean, I say you don't want to give your own teammates out. If you don't like them, of course, yeah, you can fire them out. But, but you know, but no, it's not. It's a horrible. You want to be neutral, don't you? And you try to have that sort of mindset when you go out to umpire. But it's not. You know, it's not an easy job. And of course, the other thing as well. You know, it's 5 intense days. You have to concentrate for those. You know, all those 5 days. And that sounds obvious, but you know, it's quite a mentally demanding task, and you know, of course, that you know there's all the TV cameras are on you, the technology's on you the whole time. At least you can correct mistakes now. But you know, is that you know every self-respecting umpire, especially at this level, wants to get it right. Alex Wharf, as you say, standing in his first Test match, you know, he wants to get everything right. You know, it's a huge scrutiny on you. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you. I think they've had a pretty good series, and you know, collectively, and I think actually the Indian umpires who stood in the India England series earlier this year, the one that stood in the middle had a very good time of it as well. I thought they were very good.
It's actually nice to see home umpires, isn't it? You know, which obviously is a COVID instigated thing, but I think it's great. And you know, all umpires are supposed to be neutral, and obviously the idea of neutral umpires came in, or the idea of foreign umpires umpiring your home games came in. Actually, I think it was Imran Khan who first introduced it or recommended it in the sort of 90s. Yeah. And it was right to do it at the time. But I mean, now with DRS and so on, and so that you can correct mistakes and illuminate glaring errors, actually, I think home umpires is a great thing, really. And it's a sort of reward for home umpires that they've done a great job for their domestic game to get the chance to umpire in a Test match.
Yeah, I suppose the big issue is just having really good umpires, full stop. You know, wherever they come from, that's the key, isn't it? If you've got umpires who are just not very good, not quite up to it, then you know the game becomes a little bit of a lottery. Things being overturned the whole time. That's the thing you want to avoid. So you want to raise umpiring standards. Before we go to the break, we should just talk. Well, just touch on one issue, Jos. Do you think England might regret the fact that they rather frittered away some first innings wickets? I mean, they were 350 for 3, and they were 432 all out. And there were a few casual shots played. I mean, not every batter in that, you know, middle lower order was got out. There was a bit of casualness, and you know, you're on top of the game. But is it about being really ruthless? I just wonder whether England might regret in the end not being really ruthless.
In fact, Shane Warne was on commentary saying exactly that, not blaming England particularly, but saying you got to be ruthless in these situations, not particularly picking on wickets or anything. He said that almost before the wickets fell. And he's obviously right. And I thought back when England got out, actually, I thought back to that Test match in Adelaide in 2006 when England got about 550 or something and declared for 6 or 7 down, thinking, yeah, you know, we got enough. And then Australia replied with about 520, so only a deficit of 30 or 40 runs. Tremendous performance by Ricky Ponting, etc. And then, of course, England got bowled out second time round. Shane Warne to the fore, bowled England out for about 130. They knocked off 160 to win. And it was the lack of ruthlessness. They should have gone on to get 650 and put Australia totally out of the game. Yes, England could have done that here as well. You know, Moeen, Joss Butler, Sam Curran, all kind of iffy shots. I mean, you know, Butler could say, well, that's the way I play. I play, you know, it was a bit unlucky. I thought Moeen's shot was pretty poor. And Sam Curran just lobbed one straight down deep, square leg, sort of sucker punch. So, yeah, there was a bit of lack of ruthlessness. They should have got 480. LV Insurance and the ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs community initiative has donated to Denby Cricket Club, who has proposed a multifaceted project that involves a long-term goal of increasing the number of female cricketers involved with the club and developing a sustainable approach towards the retention of female players. The Derbyshire-based club is running a free Dynamos Club initiative for girls over the summer. The Fund for Runs grant has also given Denby the chance to reach out to the schools surrounding the club in areas of deprivation for Amber Valley, including areas of Ripley, Loscow, Horsley Woodhouse and Kilburn, all of which will be given access to cricket. The club's goal is to increase the participation of female cricketers who have an interest in the sport, focus on young talent and provide them with a pathway to go further into women's cricket. And that's a really exciting opportunity, I think, for any girls or women in the Derbyshire area. By the way, I'd just like to say a little word of commendation for Ollie Robinson's bowling. I thought his opening spell today was outstanding. And it's funny, but as a bowler, there are days when you run up and the first ball you let go just fizzes out of your hand and zips off the pitch and soars through to the keeper with a bit of movement. And you just think, whoa, well, that was nice. That was a nice feeling. And it's not sort of something you try to do. You try to do it every day. But it's something that just happens. Some days, the ball just comes out of your hand and zings into the keeper's gloves or takes the edge or whatever. And that happened to Robinson today. His first ball to, I think, Rohit Sharma, you know, came angled in, zipped off the pitch and actually cut back. And Butler took it almost head high over his left shoulder. And the whole spell was asking severe questions about those batsmen. Excellent. We keep saying this, I know, but he hardly bowled a bad ball until certainly later in the day. And he was at the batsman the whole time. Really impressive.
Yeah, Robinson has had a very impressive start to his Test match career on the field. And Overton, I thought, has done well in this Test match as well. He does look a threat. And I'm pretty sure it was Steve Finn earlier in the season. I remember speaking to him and he was saying that, he said, which bowler in county cricket do you think has just impressed, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else, I suppose, literally as well. And he said, you know, Craig Overton. I mean, he said around the counties, everyone's saying Overton is just the best bowler in county cricket. And he's got just a bit more pace. I don't know. I mean, he's played...
Yeah. He runs in a bit quicker, I think.
Yeah,
I think he gets a bit more momentum in his run-up. And that was something that was said when he was at the Ashes in Australia sort of 3 or 4 years ago. And people talked about Josh Hazlewood and how had he got quicker because he was now a really serious bowler. And it was said that basically he'd increased the speed of his run-up a bit. And I thought Overton has done the same. And it does make a difference. It's very fine margins because if you run too fast, you end up sort of overbalancing as you bowl and you lose that momentum that you've achieved. But if you can really progress to the crease at a good pace and build up and then really hit the crease hard, but still with your body upright, not going too far forwards, then you can get the optimum speed. And I think at the moment he's got that.
Yeah, I mean, he has been impressive. You know, he has looked good. He's played in four previous Test matches. England have lost all four. I wonder if he's going to break that record over the next couple of days. Before we move on to India's batting and award our In With Heart award for the day, Sam Curran, there were times when, you know, Root was looking around for a sort of guaranteed fourth pace bowler, and he seemed reluctant to bowl Curran. And when Curran came on, you know, there wasn't a great deal of penetration. I know he picked up a couple of wickets in the first innings. He has got Kohli out a couple of times in his Test career, but he only bowled 9 overs of the 80 overs. And it almost seemed to be putting just a bit more of a burden on the other three main pace bowlers. I just wonder whether at that point Joe Root was thinking, I wonder if we'd have played Saqib Mahmood in this game, you know, whether he would have just given me a bit more, a first Test match. What about Sam Curran? I mean, he's such a talented cricketer, but he's still at that stage where, you know, he's batting at 8 and he's a fourth seamer. You feel there's more talent there than it's quite revealing itself in a way? Or is that a bit unfair? I mean, he's still only 23.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for a bowler, I mean, he's a bowler at the moment. He's a bowler who bats at 8, and he bats as if he is a number 8, doesn't he? A little bit, and I think you tend to do that. If he was put in at number 6, he probably might play differently. As a bowler, you need at Test level, you need pace, movement and consistency, you know, accuracy, you need at least two of those three. And at the moment, he's really only got one. He's got a bit of movement. He hasn't got enough pace or enough accuracy. So he's a little bit restricted or limited or hampered by his height. And I sort of identify with that a little bit, because if you are less than 6 foot, 6 foot one as a fast bowler, your length, it's easier for good batsmen on good pitches to hit through your length ball, because your length ball doesn't bounce as much as a taller bowler. So they can hit on the up against you. You have less length as a result to control the batsman with. Your good length ball can go for runs. And so Sam Curran is trying to get that swing, and from a, you know, her foolish length. If it doesn't swing much, he's fairly easy to play, and he hasn't got that totally pinpoint accuracy or another ingredient to his bowling to make him really effective. So he's either got to get more movement or more pace, or you could say more height, but I think that's too late.
No, that's not going to happen, is it? I mean, I think there are you know, quite a few people who feel that he's going to be a batting all-rounder, but of course you don't become a batting all-rounder until you get up the order a bit and make a few runs. So, you know, it's a sort of chicken and egg situation. Now, what about Pujara today? He was playing on one of his former home grounds. He's been under pressure. Okay, he made a few runs at Lord's when he dug in that second innings, and actually ultimately helped India to win that game. And who knows what's going to happen here. He's in the 90s overnight, the nervous 90s, not something you ever encountered in your first-class career.
only on my bowling figures.
Yeah. How well did he play? And is he our winner of the In With Heart Award today?
Well, I think he's definitely our winner of the In With Heart Award today. But I think what was interesting about his innings was it was almost like a man in the last chance saloon who realised, look, I don't want to go down, you know, sort of prodding and poking around. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down, not blazing, but at least attempting to be positive. And, you know, from early on, you know, clipping balls through the leg side for boundaries, there was more purpose and intent. He's looked like a blocker, a wicket waiting to happen over the last year, and averaged, I don't know, less than 20 most of the last year or so. He's looked like a punch bag against fast bowling, hasn't got a shot in anger. He's just looked like someone who's doesn't know what to do, almost. He looks almost paralysed, mesmerised. But today, he was proactive. He played some positive shots. And if you do that, and I know I'm speaking rather not from experience so much as observation, your feet get moving, your mindset is more sort of active and proactive, you're looking for singles, it energises your body, and suddenly you find balls to hit, and suddenly your rhythm and flow comes back. And, you know, well done to him for sticking it out, for believing in himself, for still batting at number three, for taking all the blows on the body, and he's got his rewards today.
Yeah, and tomorrow he comes back 91 out with a new ball straight away, first thing in the morning. But, you know, he's not far away. And Kohli at the other end as well. He was so close to being bowled by Joe Root through the gate this evening. But he hasn't looked in too much trouble out there. And, there isn't a lot of devil in the pitch. There's some movement. There's a little bit of spin. But, it's a pitch in which you clearly can stick in and play with application. I think we've got a fascinating test match on our hands. It would be a bit foolish, really, to predict definitively what's going to happen from here. You feel that England are in a clearly still in the much better position because India are still 139 runs behind, and England could go on and win the game tomorrow. But it's opened up a bit today, and you know, there's a lot. The other thing as well, of course, Saturday crowd at Leeds. I suspect the chief executive would be quite happy that India have done what they've done today to get the punters in on the fourth day rather than having a 3 day test match, which was a possibility. India fight hard, don't they? We saw it at Lord's. They didn't give up. They kept on going. England looked, you know, in a decent position after 4 days of that match, and India blew them away. So it's not quite be warned, England, but you can just, you know, I was talking last night about, you know, the long path of full of snakes and thunderstorms and difficult river crossings. Well, they've got past the snakes today, and they've got over a river. There might be one or two more difficult rivers to get across. But
well, there's a sort of semi-mountain to climb now, in the sense of trying to get past England. And you always have to, when you look at this sort of situation, you always have to add a couple of wickets to the number that have fallen. So really, they're 139 behind with four down. If they think that way, if England think that way, then they've really only got a couple of wickets to take to get into the tail. Obviously, they've got to get three or four wickets more, but you have to think three or four good balls with that second good ball.
Yeah, I think that's how England have to look at it, isn't it? But, you know, it's one of if they don't get a wicket with the new ball tomorrow, perhaps it is game on. Anyway, we'll be back to report on whatever happens tomorrow in this what has been a riveting test series. And, you know, the arm wrestle continues into the fourth day. Really enjoyed it today, and hopefully we'll enjoy it even more tomorrow, Yoz. So thanks so much for listening. Goodbye for now.
And don't forget, by the way, to buy the Cricketer magazine, subscribe to the Cricketer magazine for some weekend reading. Go to thecricketer.com/subscribe. There's a special offer on there, so it's worth looking into.
Podcast Network.